Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the 4th of July is about upon us, and what thoughts come to mind? Well, think of the letter F. Fun, maybe some time at the beach, sprinkling around or dancing around in the water. Or maybe family, getting together in the backyard, grandparents, parents, children, grandchildren. Or maybe food, barbecue, corn on the cob, ice cream, and the like. Or maybe fireworks, red, white, and blue, kind of stirs us up with excitement. But then there is number 5, and that is the most important of all, and that is freedom. America is about freedom, the freedoms that we have. Freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom of religion, the right to assemble, freedom from fear, and the like. And this freedom that we have has not come easy or lightly. It has cost, and for many it was the ultimate sacrifice. Listen to the words of JFK decades ago. "The path we have chosen for the present is full of hazards, as all paths are. But it is the one most consistent with our character and courage as a nation and our commitments around the world. The cost of freedom is always high, but Americans have always paid it. And one path we shall never choose, and that is the path of surrender or submission. We are a free people, and we are proud of that fact." Compare America to other countries in the world. For example, China. 1.3 billion people. And they have a thing called eye scanning and face recognition. To be able to recognize and know where 1.3 billion people are at any one time. Talk about George Orwell, 1984. This is George Orwell to the max. But we are a free people. You know, God doesn't have covenant nations anymore. There was only one covenant nation in the history of mankind, and that was Israel in the Old Testament. But God has richly blessed this nation with natural resources and beauty and institutions of higher learning and on, and above all, the freedom that we have. God has been so good to us as a nation. By his grace, may we always be thankful for that. Now, part 2. So how free are we really as individuals? Well, let me give some examples. We are free enough that we do not have to pay taxes if we don't want to. Whoa, wouldn't that be nice? I mean, all of us have to pay taxes. Unless we have the best CPA in the world, we will all pay taxes. We are not free not to pay taxes. Well, how about this then? We are free to pay taxes only for that legislation that we believe in. I always thought that'd be a good idea. If something is morally or ethically against what we believe, or we think it's bad legislation, therefore we don't have to pay taxes for that. No, I'm afraid that's not the way it is either. Well, what about this then? We are free to obey the law only when it's convenient for us. So let's say it's about midnight and we're driving in a rural area, pitch dark, and there's nobody else in sight. And we look here or there to make sure there's no cop in sight, but there's a stop sign. Now, do we stop or do we drive on through? I mean, who is going to know the difference whether we stop or not? We are not free to obey those laws when it's only convenient for us. What about this? We are free in marriage to do whatever we want. Now, the only person that would say that would be a fool or somebody who's never been married. You see, in marriage, it's not just the individual, but each one working for the other, that the other person might be the best person that they can be in the marital relationship. We are not free to do whatever we want when we are married. And one more. As individuals, we are free from guilt in life. Now, if we were raised by mothers who were Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, we absolutely know that is not the case. Lori and I compare notes once in a while about kind of feelings of guilt of how we were raised. Mother might say, "You know better than that. I taught you better than that." And that's not bad, having these feelings of guilt, because it kind of kept us on the straight and narrow. The point is, in life, as individuals, we are not free to do whatever we want. Freedom does not mean license. So then we come to part three. So far we've talked about what we might call penultimate reality. That is, freedom as important, but not essential freedom, not basic freedom, not the freedom that really counts in life. And for that, we need to talk about our freedom with God in Jesus Christ. We are free in Christ from sin. Now, that doesn't sound right, because we pray in the prayer, we sin in thought and word and deed day after day. We sin by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We are sinners, but Christ has taken our sins upon himself on the cross. Therefore, our sins are removed, and we are holy and righteous before God because of Jesus Christ. We are sinners, yes, but sinners who are forgiven. And secondly, we are free from Satan. Scripture talks about Satan as a roaring lion going about seeking somebody to devour, and so we are tempted in life. But we can overcome those temptations with Christ working in and through us, because he in his life overcame the temptations. Will we always be successful? No, because we are sinners. But when we sin and tempted and fall into the temptation, we are yet forgiven by God in Christ. Then thirdly, we are free from death and the fear of death. And I imagine most of us in our life sometimes fear about death. And the fear comes from not knowing, you know, when are we going to die? How are we going to die? How much pain are we going to have? And so forth. But we don't have to fear death, because Easter Sunday morning, the stone was rolled away from the tomb. Christ has risen. And so we shall rise with him on the last day for eternal life. In God, in Christ, we are free from sin, death, and the power of Satan. But we are not only free from in Christ, but we are free for. Why did God place us here on earth? What is the purpose of life? It is twofold, and the first is to love God, to serve God, to praise and worship and to glorify God in all that we say and do. You see, when we were baptized and the sign of the cross was made upon our forehead and over our heart, and then we belong to God in Christ. We are no longer our own people, but we are God's people, slaves to God, but that slavery is freedom to love and serve and to worship our God in Christ. And then secondly, we are free for loving and to love others. 58 years ago, after my first year in seminary in St. Louis, there was the opportunity to do a summer vicarage in South Dakota, my home state. And so I spent 3 months, and 2 of the months were in 2 little towns, Lebanon and Seneca, South Dakota. Lebanon, about 120 people or so. And then after 2 months, I spent the 3rd month in Fort Pierre at the church there. And while at Fort Pierre, I got a call at the church, and a rancher wants to see me, and he's angry. He's upset. He wants to talk to the pastor. And so I go out to see this rancher, and like I say, he's just vile in his language, and he's talking about his daughter. And he says his daughter is going to get married, and he will have none of that. And if his daughter marries this young man, he will disown her and never talk to her again. Wow. And so I'm wondering to myself, what is it with this young man? I mean, alcohol, drugs, member of a cult, draft dodger, woman chaser. What is it with this young man that he is so bad that his daughter marries him? He will disown her. And you know what he said? He will disown her if she marries him because he's a Democrat. I mean, he was a staunch Republican, and if his daughter marries this young man, she will no longer be a member of that family. And my first reaction was to myself, you gotta be kidding. I mean, here I spent 1 year within the friendly confines of the seminary in St. Louis, and there, surrounded by the camaraderie of other students and love and caring and sharing, and here it is, the rubber meets the road, and here's real life. Wow. God in Christ has called us to love everyone, regardless of race, ethnic background, sexual identity, religion, politics, social standing. God has called us to love everyone in the world. Well, I don't know if you remember from 3 years ago, but well, that means the sermon's about over. Well, I end with an epilogue here. And I take us on a little train ride. In life, as people of faith, we are on the freedom train. And Jesus is the engineer. And how has the train ride gone so far? Well, it hasn't been easy, been bumpy, and for some it's been much harder than for others. You know, the rails of the track have gotten a little old and rusty, and the rails are not as straight as they were at one time. They're kind of wavy now. And as we have journeyed down that track, there were times when it looked like the train was going to go off the track and crash. But thank God for the engineer who kept us on the train and on the track and kept us safe. And there have been mudslides and avalanches and blizzards and all kinds of hazards have come our way, and yet we have stayed on that freedom train toward our destination. And the destination is the station at the end. And the station manager is God the Father, and he is waiting there with open arms to greet us as we come home. And as we journey down that track, that freedom train, and we get closer to the end. And as we get closer and closer to the end, we become like little children. And we rush as fast as we can toward the engineer. And we ask that all-important question, excitingly, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And the engineer leans toward us with love in his eyes and says in a comforting manner, softly, almost, almost. In the name of Jesus, amen.